Good morning. On Thursday of last week, the first baseball game of the season was finally played. Opening day was supposed to be on March 26th, but because of the COVID-19 pandemic, baseball and all the sports this season were postponed. It was nice to watch baseball again, even though it looks a little different, sounds a little different because there's no fans in the stands. But the game itself was unchanged. Baseball is a little different than other sports. It's kind of a slower game. The action isn't constant like it is with basketball, constantly running up and down the court. Even football, play after play after play. Baseball, it's a little slower, and some people don't like that. They don't like the slowness of it. They get bored with it. But as I've gotten older, I've grown to appreciate that. And maybe it's because I don't have to give watching it my complete attention. Like if your attention strays during a basketball game, you might miss something because it happens very quickly. But in baseball, you have time in between pitches. You can do some other things. There was a game 100 years ago that failed to keep the attention of even one of the players on the field. On June 8, 1920, the Cincinnati Reds were playing in New York against the then New York Giants. In the bottom of the eighth inning, so the game's almost over, the game is tied 4-4. The Giants, who were up to bat in the bottom of the eighth, the Giants player doubled down the third baseline, so he hit it down the third baseline. The left fielder made a bad throw. That allowed Burns to get all the way to third. Now, the Reds, they believed this ball was hit foul. They believed it was hit foul, but the officials called Burns safe. So this caused a huge argument between the entire Reds team who came up out of the dugout. Again, this is 1920. So today you wouldn't see the whole team coming up out of the dugout for that, but in 1920 they did. The entire team comes up to argue, and for more than 15 minutes, they argued with the umpire whether this ball was fair or foul. 15 minutes. That must have seemed like a long time for the outfielder, for the center fielder for the Reds, named Ed Rausch. Because Ed, he was in the outfield, long ways away from the action, took off his glove, took off his cap, laid down in the grass, fell asleep. He fell asleep. I wouldn't be surprised to see this during like a little league game between like 5 and 6 year olds, you know. But not a major league player. This was his job. He was getting paid to play. Once the argument was over, once those 15 minutes was over, the umpire wanted to start the game, but couldn't because Ed Rausch is sleeping in the outfield. He's taking a nap in the outfield. A teammate had to run over to him, wake him up. The umpire ejected Rausch for delaying the game, but Rausch didn't want to leave the game, so he argued for another 10 minutes. He took a nap in the outfield. I know baseball can be boring. Some people think it can be boring. He was bored. So while his manager and his teammates were arguing with the umpire, Ed Rausch's attention, his full attention, was no longer on the game. It was no longer on his job. I doubt that when he laid down, his attention was actually to fall asleep, was to take a nap. Maybe he was just going to rest a bit. Because normally nowadays, those arguments don't last 15 minutes, only last a few minutes. But because the arguing lasted so long, he fell asleep. But whatever his intention, his attention during that time was not where it should have been. Even though the game wasn't happening, there was no action in the game, his attention should have been on his job, on the game. It can be easy for our attention to be drawn away from what it should be on as well. there's a lot of distractions in our lives today. It's easy for our attention to be pulled in many directions. We can be working on a task and we hear our phone chirp or beep and we have a notification, so we pull our phone out and check that notification, and then while we have the phone out, something else catches our attention, so we're scrolling through different things, totally drawn away from the task we were working on because of our phone. Or we can be working on something in another part, in one room of the house, but we have to walk through the room where the TV is on, and then our attention gets pulled towards the TV and away from our task. In our Christian lives, our attention can be pulled away also from where it should be. There are many temptations in the world, many temptations fighting for our attention. We need to work to keep our attention on what it is supposed to be on, serving God. A very well-known verse regarding this is 1 Peter 5:8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Be sober, it says, be self-controlled. And it says to be vigilant, be alert, be watchful. Those are some other translations. We need to be watchful in our Christian lives. Watchful because the devil is hunting us. Ed Rausch should have been vigilant. He should have been alert and watchful, even during a pause in the game. And because he wasn't, he was ejected from the game because he took a nap. We don't want to be ejected from our Christian lives, so to speak, because we are not alert, because we haven't been watchful, because we have led our attention stray. In Luke, Jesus tells his people, and he tells us as well, also to be watchful. Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 34, says, But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, that the day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus says to watch out so that our hearts, when they're weighed down, so that our hearts aren't weighed down with life, the cares of this world. And so that day, which is Judgment Day, he was talking about the previous section, it doesn't come upon us like a trap. We need to be watchful so we're ready for it, so we aren't surprised. I'm sure Ed Rausch was a bit surprised when his teammate came up to him, woke him up, because again, I doubt his intention was to fall asleep, so he was that when you wake up unexpectedly, you're surprised. We don't want to be surprised when Jesus returns, if we're woken up from taking a nap. We need to watch ourselves and stay awake and don't nap in the outfield. One of the times in my life that I can feel myself taking a nap, so to speak, is with the church's website. I enjoy doing the website, but sometimes I get bored with it. It's too much of a routine, or I begin to wonder who's really looking at it. How useful is this? Again, I enjoy it, which is weird, but sometimes I don't see the hurry. I don't see the need as far as updating the lessons. So I have the lesson recorded. It's on my little disc. But I don't feel like getting it put onto an MP3 and then having to upload it onto the website. It doesn't take that much time. But again, I've got other things to do. My attention is elsewhere. This is something that happened recently. For the past 2 weeks, I hadn't updated the previous 2 weeks' sermons. Because if I wait till like So Sunday, we have the Sunday lesson. If I don't do it on Sunday, if I start putting it off even a little bit, it gets to be like Thursday or Friday. I'm like, well, Sunday's just around the corner. I'll just wait till Sunday, then I can just do both. That's what happened. And then two Sundays ago, I get that one. So I have two now. And I don't do that one that day either. And again, it gets later in the week. I'll just wait. So finally, Thursday of last week. No, Saturday. Saturday. So again, I had two lessons. This is the day before the third Sunday. I went ahead and did those two lessons. Got the website updated, ready to go. I didn't have the title for the speakers. I didn't know what he was going to talk about yet. But I had the website ready to go. All I had to do is upload the lesson, title it, and publish it. I still didn't do it. I was almost done. I still didn't do it. So Thursday of last week rolls around. I finally update the site. And later that day, I get an email on the church's email account from somebody who's new to the area looking for a church, and he found our site, found our website, and emailed us. I don't know what's going to come from that, but that was a bit like waking up, being woken up. And then whether that was a coincidence or God had planned it, I don't know, but it's a good reminder for me that the website is important. It does need to be updated. It does need to have stuff on it for people who are looking, because we don't know who's looking. So there are things in our lives that we need to be woken up to. We need to realize the importance of little things in our lives that we do every day. It can make a difference. I like looking to David as an example in life. David made mistakes, of course, but he always recovered from those mistakes. I want to look at part of David's life right before he faced Goliath. This is from 1 Samuel 17, beginning in verse 34. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." I've never spent a lot of time around sheep, so I don't know how easy it is to tell one from another. To me, a sheep looks like a sheep. They all look pretty much the same. So it's not like I would be able to, if one of you were missing, I would be able to tell you are missing. Whereas with a sheep, if one's missing, I don't know if you could tell which one is which. So David was the shepherd, and I think it's a pretty safe bet that when he was a shepherd, he took care of more than just a few sheep. Guessing he probably had at least 100 in his flock, probably more, probably a lot more. I Googled it. How many sheep can one shepherd care for? And it told me 1,000. Two sites said 1,000. That's a lot of sheep. I can't imagine. 1,000 sheep. So think of this. David is watching 1,000 sheep, and he knows one is taken. He knows one gets taken by a lion. He knows when one gets taken by a bear. Now, I don't know how I didn't Google this, how big of a field these sheep would be grazing in, but I doubt it's all in one little area. So it's a big open area. David can't watch everything at one time. And I can imagine it would get a little boring sitting out in the field watching sheep. You would be tempted to take a nap in the outfield. But if David did that, if he fell asleep, he would not see the lion coming in to take the sheep. He wouldn't see the bear coming in to take the sheep. He wouldn't, and he has to know his sheep. I mean, that's a common verse when they're talking about shepherds in the Bible. He knows his sheep. He knows when they're missing. David had been napping in the outfield, he would not have been aware. His attention would not have been on his sheep to know that one's missing, to even go after them. But David paid attention to his flock. He cared for them. We need to pay attention to our souls, to our Christian lives, and care for them, and be watchful of it. The devil is going to try to lull us to sleep at times with inactivity, or he's going to try to draw our attention away from where it needs to be with too much activity. We need to keep our attention on the important things. I was looking at animals regarding this topic, because you always think of a snake hypnotizing their prey. That might not necessarily be the case from what I found, but I did find an interesting animal called a stoat. A stoat, S-T-O-U-T. I'd never heard of these animals before. It's similar to a ferret or a weasel, kind of a small little creature like that. But they can take down rabbits that are up to 10 times their size sometimes. And they do this. One of their methods is to sort of hypnotize their prey. Not with slowness of activity, like you think of a snake moving slow and lulling their prey to sleep. This stoat, and you should Google it sometime, they're interesting. They hypnotize their prey with activity, with too much activity. They hop around, roll around, flip around, everything possible to get the attention of this rabbit. And this rabbit is just drawn into the attention of this critter, flopping all over the place. And as he's doing this, the stoat keeps getting closer and closer and closer to the rabbit, who needs to be running away. But his attention is on this show. And then when he gets close enough, he attacks. So the devil can do it both ways. He can lull us to sleep with inactivity like Ed Rausch. There can be nothing going on in our lives. We think everything's fine. And all of a sudden he can strike. Or we can have too much activity like the stoat. And our attention can be focused on everything else except where it should be. And then he attacks. Different ways we need to focus our attention. So Ed Rausch took a nap in the outfield one day back in 1920. I don't remember what part of his career that was. I didn't remember looking, but he had a long baseball career. He played for 18 years, which is a pretty long time. That one event did not define his career. He was actually one of baseball's greatest hitters and greatest fielders. Over his career, he hit a 323 average, so which means about 32% of the time he got a hit, which doesn't sound very good, but in baseball that is good for 32% of the time you get a hit. One of the more remarkable statistics about him is that he hit 30 inside-the-park home runs. So a home run is when you hit the ball out of the park and free to run around the bases. An inside-the-park home run is when you hit the ball in the park. It doesn't leave the field, so it's still a live ball, but you are able to run around all the way to home before they can get the ball to home and tag you out. That's incredibly fast. He did that 30 times. He was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1962. So even though he took a nap in the outfield, he became a Hall of Famer. So even if we do take a nap in the outfield ourselves, even if we do mess up and have a blemish on our career, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to ruin our career. We don't have to be known for it. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of his love, we can have those mess-ups forgiven. We can be woken up and forgiven. We won't be ejected from the game, and we will be considered a Hall of Famer because of Jesus' sacrifice. So if you're napping this morning, physically or spiritually, and if you need to be woken up, and if you want to accept Jesus so he can forgive you of your sins, you're welcome to come forward as we stand and sing.